Hello, guys. Welcome to Blackpink Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. And today, we have the one and only, again, best friend of the pod. Not even friend of the pod. Best friend of the pod.
Straight up.
The one and only, Tamani.
How Geyser. Are
you? Hello, hello. That's an honor.
In a new surrounding.
Yes, you're actually our first guest, like in the studio.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think of this?
Nice, how you think? Nice. I'm out of my bedroom.
Yeah. It's true. You
We're
know.
Trying, man. We're
I do want to say I did have a little look. You know, I'm just saying. I'm seeing some podcasts. They're trying to step up their game since we stepped up our game. I'm seeing a little bit more videos here and there. It's nice to see that we're starting up shit and that we're shaking the table.
About in the tennis space.
I'm in the tennis space, my guy.
Okay.
I'll tell you after.
Off camera.
Let's keep it peaceful.
No, you know what? I'm loving it because this is what we need to do. At the end of the day, the goal is to have tennis out there. The goal is to make we're trying to advertise our sport the best way possible. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm seeing a little something, but you know, it's all good. How's everyone anyways, guys?
Good.
Post Ghetto Open, aka French Open, aka Roland Garros.
Slightly tired, but I'm good. We'll get into it. But yeah, it's been a really good, fortnight. And obviously we had the pleasure of being there on the Friday.
Yeah, we did.
Which we'll get into. Mm-hmm. But yeah, slightly tired, but probably not as tired as this guy. He's been
I'm dead, man.
Working hard. For our new listeners, Tamani is actually the tennis journalist for The Guardian, correct?
Yep.
You know, so he's working hard. So every Grand Slam, most tournaments, he's out there, especially the Grand Slams and interviewing and stuff. But yeah, you'll keep us updated later on how it's been at Roland
Garros. But before we get into it, like how long have you actually been out of, like, the country?
Basically 7 weeks.
Oh my god.
So I did 2 weeks in Madrid and then a week and a bit in Rome.
Yeah.
And then I came home for like a day. Then I went to Spain to Carlos Alcaraz's his old club, his club that he plays at home in his hometown.
Was that before the French?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then I came home for another like day and then went to Paris for 3 weeks.
So. Jesus.
Yeah.
Wowzers. So 7 weeks on the road.
Yeah.
Guy's touring like a flipping musician.
Basically.
Like a tennis player.
Well, and that too. But yeah, man. It's a pleasure having you here as usual. So yeah, we really appreciate it because obviously you could have been anywhere, but you're here with us.
And he landed yesterday as well.
That too, very late as well. So we do appreciate you as always, Tamani. So thank you, man. But yeah, I think we should get into it. Where should we start?
I cannot wait to start with this.
I'll let Lucy. So we've got some big, I say big breaking news. Like it's kind
massive
of,
news.
It's we've known for a while though.
I want to
take a bit of credit because I've been speaking this to
you definitely have.
For like the
you
past year.
100% have.
So
I do have to give credit for that. And I will. To everyone out there at home. To our listeners. To our haters.
I bring all the
to
haters.
Our family. No, this nigga's hating out here, but who that's why we have to stunt on these hoes.
No comment.
But, guys, we actually got approved for Wimbledon Media Accreditation,
Jesus.
My guy. Blackpink Global are going to be at bloody Wimbledon.
For the whole duration,
the whole 2 weeks from the 3rd to like, what is it, 14th, 17th of
15th,
July?
16th, yeah.
Whatever it is, we are there. We are right there. Not only we got approved for that, we got approved for basically all the grass tournaments that we applied for
much,
as well.
Yeah. Queens, Birmingham,
not
Eastbourne. Yeah.
Even if we applied for Nottingham, we'd have probably even gotten it as well. But yeah, guys, we are going to fucking Wimbledon.
Grass court season is going down.
Right? I have to give props to Eugene because, like he said, he spoke into existence for this. And I was actually always like he was always saying, he's like, Lucy, we're going to get Wimbledon. And I was like, But I do want to point out, I'm actually a pessimist though anyways. So like...
Leo.
I know, and I'm an overthinker. But I think it's also because what our listeners don't know is that we've actually applied for this like 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And even for example, like last year when we got the grass tournaments, we got accreditation for those.
Through the LTA.
Through the LTA, number one. And number two, they were even moving kind of like, for example, they were saying Queens, only one of us could go.
Yeah, true.
Or like even like Eastbourne, they said, okay, both of you are approved, but only one of you can be on site at the same time.
Yeah.
Even though we didn't really
Was that Birmingham? Isn't that Birmingham?
No, that was Eastbourne.
Really?
Eastbourne, we were not supposed to be there
Don't
on that site
lie.
At the same
time.
I'm being for real.
That's crazy.
We were not supposed to be at the same time. I think that or like the desk thing, I think it was only space for one person at the desk or something
that.
All I know is that it was a thing, it was something like that. Whereas this year, for instance, both of us can be at,
we in the building.
At the same time.
We in the building. And we got desks.
You're going to see Black Spin Glover right there. But Eugene, as someone who actually started this platform, like, because you're the one who started this
whole
shit.
Oh, don't put me on the spot now. I don't want to be...
How do you actually feel?
Of course, no, it's massive, man. Like, it's huge. And the thing is, when I found out, like, when we got the email confirmation, I sent it to my family, like, first. And was like, you lot, look. And when I say like, I felt like how proud they were.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, look at this. Like, this is something you started like, what, 2019, 2020? Well, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
To now look. Like, and it's crazy, like we said before, like getting the kind of, not appraisal, but like the recognition from players and like 100%. Coaches. But now to like get that from a bloody grand slam, like we're recognized as media, like that's wild.
That's insane.
So we obviously have to pay as well, like, and that's something I'm going to talk about, like, or not talk about, but like document, like, in maybe some tweets, or I might write about it, like, just about the whole process.
Or our vlog.
Well, you're the vlogger.
I'm trying to make him jump on the vlog thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But
TikTok thing.
Exactly.
You won't find me on TikTok. But anyway,
we'll see.
No, but of course, very proud, Lucy, man. And like, it's a team effort because obviously you're my sidekick, and like, I couldn't be doing any of this without you. Massive props to you, and a big thank you as well, like, for the stuff you do. So
I think like the highlight, like when you called me. The way the universe works so interesting, because when you called me and told me like the news that we got it, I was actually edited. Like,
mad.
I was in the middle of like
just shows,
and I was just here like every time I edit, I was stressed out. Me and Premiere Pro were always fighting. By the end, the product comes out well, but it was just so interesting. I was just there, like, I think I was trying to figure some edit out, because I think that was the first time I was editing our like these type of pods or something like in the studio.
Yeah.
So getting that, it was like a full circle moment. I was like, oh my god,
it's wild.
Like, this is actually
wild.
Insane. So guys, you'll catch us at, you know, Wimbledon.
SW19.
Yes, we're going to be out here, and I'm going to be disturbing Tamani as well, aka my mentor, even though he doesn't like me saying it because it makes him sound old apparently. But I'm going to be bombarding you with silly questions or smart questions or all sorts and stuff. But I feel like it's cool that we have that little privilege
100%.
In a way to like actually
this guy is the in, like,
listen, exactly, he knows it. Like, he even, do you know what's so funny, as I remember last year, he even like brought us in and sat like
the tour.
Press
Made
so now it's like
the wristbands,
I still have that wristband as well. That's the funniest thing. It's so cool, like, literally, like, how this year we're all gonna be all together.
It's mad.
And yeah, I'm really excited.
I can't wait, man.
I'm really, really excited. So yeah, guys, don't worry. Get ready for the content, the vlogs, the interviews on site, the everything. Like, we are actually gonna take this all in, and most importantly, enjoy this process as well.
That's definitely key. Mm-hmm. Enjoying it. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Before we get into like what this pod's about, because obviously it's a review pod of the French Open, as you probably will all have seen now, we were in Paris on the Friday. That was men's semi-finals.
Yes,
day.
Men's semi-finals.
Demi-final. My French is bad,
Demi-final.
Demi-final, sorry. that's the only French you're getting from me. But yeah, what an experience that was. And we need to shout out Rodney Rapson, because yeah, he's the one that hooked that up for us.
He did.
Which was, again, like completely out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
But he just said, yeah, like, he just appreciates the work we've been doing. And like, it's just kind of acknowledgement of that.
Yeah.
And again, he didn't have to do that. So, it was...
I was out here chilling, minding my own business, babysitting my little brother. And I just see the WhatsApp group, RG Semis. And I was like, what? And I was like, yeah, hey, like, just make your way to Paris. I was like, boy, if I have to go to the ghetto, I'm gonna do that.
I mean, I remember I texted you somebody, I think on the Friday that we landed, I was like, oh yeah, we're in Paris. You're like, I think, did you text me that same day?
I saw your Instagram.
No, yeah, yeah, that's it. The IG.
Yeah, his Instagram.
And I've seen Lucy in Paris as well before, and I was like, wait, what's going on?
Do you know what? Because in my head, I thought Eugene probably told you, so I didn't update or like anything. So I thought in my head, like, you actually knew. So it was just like, yeah.
Because it all came around pretty quickly. So
it did, yeah, it did. Like 2 weeks before we had to be there, we basically found out, and I was off as well. So perfect. Yeah.
But like traveling is stressful, guys. Like as I'm sure you're all aware. Like, and I'm not going to get into my journey, but just in general, like it's stressful. It's a stressful process.
It actually is. I feel like the older I get, the less I actually enjoy traveling.
Mad.
Whereas before, like when I used to like
so privileged,
be like, oh, so okay, oh yeah, that sounded bad. But okay, but what I'm trying to say is the stress of it, like you said. Like when I was younger, I used to love being on a plane and stuff. Yeah, but now I'm like. Especially since COVID as well, I feel like
it's changed. Things have changed.
It actually has changed. It's not as enjoyable as before. There's always something.
Yeah.
But
what did you enjoy mostly about Friday? Like obviously we saw Alcaraz Djokovic, which was ended in four sets. That was the first semi final. Then the second was Casper Ruud, Alexander Zverev. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. What match was the most enjoyable for you?
Both of them were actually were. Obviously, we didn't get what we wanted from the Alcaraz
and
Djokovic match after the second set. Was it the third set where he started? Those first two sets, fam, even the first couple games were just like, we were just like, whoa, like we just got here. Like, relax. Like,
chill.
calm down. Besides how we ended, it was still a great match. I was so happy that, you know, this was literally one of the most anticipated matches of, like, basically the year, to be honest, with the season.
It really was.
The Zverev and Ruud one took me out because I actually said I was going to do this. Ruud.
Oh, yeah. The floor is yours, Lucy.
I wasn't familiar with your game. I owe you an apology. I really do. I really need to put some respect on your name. Because that, I was like, wait, hold on. Since when does he play? How is he playing like this? Like, I was actually taken back, and I take back everything that I've said. You know, you're a legit player.
You know,
you deserve your respect. You've been three Grand Slam finals, is it?
Now,
yeah. And I hope one day you actually win one. I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, it's pretty impressive. I think what's even more impressive about him as well is that his father was a player as well. Mm, so nice it's story. Nice seeing that transition as well. But I'm not gonna lie, I thought Zverev was gonna win that match. I genuinely thought it was going to be like him in the final and stuff. But Ruud showed out. It was a great day and a great match.
We'll talk more about the tennis in a bit, but just I want to talk about like our experiences in Paris as well quickly. Like, so outside of the grounds, we did have a a moment that I don't want to spend too much time on. But again, I was like in shock.
Guys.
But maybe you can explain it better.
We nearly got robbed.
I mean,
now everyone in my comments,
and also this explains why you called it the ghetto.
That's what I was gonna say. And when I post a reel and I put the caption, ghetto open or something, like, why call it a ghetto? I'm like, girl, it's the hood, right?
Well, here's some context.
So here's some context. So we just left, me, Eugene, and Tamani, we were on our way to grab some food after French Open. We're walking now down the road where we're actually away from the place and we can catch an Uber. Mm. So we requested an Uber. The Uber's actually coming. Get my man, some next stranger coming up to us saying, oh, he started speaking in French. And for those who don't know, I actually do speak and understand French. But in some situations, it's good to pretend like you don't know how to speak it, which is what I did instantly. I genuinely thought he was just going to come and just bother us and stuff. So that's why I just automatically just said English. Mm. But again, everyone speaks English, especially in Paris. Like, don't think there's some people in Paris, I tell you, they don't speak it, but they actually do. And this guy actually ended up speaking English. And I was like, okay, yeah, fuck. So I was like, okay, what do you want? I was like, oh, what did he say again? Like, his phone was dead.
Yeah, exactly.
His battery died and that he needs to go somewhere and stuff. And that if we could check on our phone the directions, how far. And my instinct just kicked in and I was just like, okay. And I was like, okay, so what's the name of the place?
The way Lucy was gripping the phone, I was like,
guys, I was holding something's like, up here. Live. I was like, and the thing is, I was holding two phones. Yeah, I was holding mine, your phone because it was your phone that we're using for like the Uber. Mm. And then I was using my phone to do the whole check-in for the place. And as I was asking him like where it was and stuff, and then he kept on like coming closer to me, trying to grab the, as in he wanted to like write down the thing. And I told him straight, like, no. How do you spell it? Let me write it down. Like, how do you spell it? And he was like, yes, C-A-F. And even when we were trying to like, and the thing is, the place that he told us,
some far out,
14 minute walk away. I'm like, bro, if you're going to try and finesse me, at least pick a place that's like, you know, but I generally think, I think he thought instantly I would give him my phone and
he kept on trying to like put his hand down.
Literally, yeah. And then I think when he, I think you clocked after, I think Eugene was the last one to clock what was going on.
I'm naive as hell. So like, yeah. Like,
I don't think he really grabbed what was going on. So I was just like, no. Like, just tell me what it was. And then when he then clocked that he couldn't finesse us and like try to rob us, he then started having some random conversation
about breakfast.
I was like, what?
He was like,
what do you think about breakfast?
I don't like it. When he started saying that, I was like, you know, you just flopped what you're trying to do. So the guy was, long story short, this guy was trying to actually take our phones and run away with it, thinking that we're just going to give it to him to show the, like, the directions and stuff. And it's so crazy. Like, that's how you can, I think the only reason why my instinct kicked in is because, like, phone theft and stuff is really common in Paris, no, like, idea. Extremely common. So whenever I'm in front, I'm not going to lie, like, I'm not even saying this in a bad way or, like, trying to bash French people or anything, but literally, when I'm in Paris, it's the only place where I'm so careful with my phone in my bag, especially in the metro. Like, it's very common. Like, there's even announcement on the train saying, please beware of like pickpocketing and stuff. Like, it's that bad.
That's so sad.
So I think that's why I think if it was in London, it probably would have worked.
Interesting.
I think so. It probably would have worked. I don't know. I don't think I would have been that alert. Like, I'm someone who's alert a lot of times, but because I'm at home, I probably would have been a little bit more laid back. But because it's so common in Paris, I was like, I'm not playing games. Not here.
Afterwards, I was actually quite annoyed.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking to myself,
because when he left, that's what I said. I was like, guys, you know this guy was actually trying to rob us. And Eugene was just like, what?
I was like, the cheek of this guy. Like, I mean, he looks like some scrawny, like, that's dude.
Because even when I look, do you know what I did as well? I looked at his shoes and they were running shoes. That guy was ready to run.
He woke up ready.
He had a mission. He was like, I'm going to rob somebody's phone today.
Very, very
he
wild.
Had, when I looked at his shoes, and because I didn't look at him carefully, when I looked at him up and out, I saw his shoes.
He did look a bit trampy.
He did. No, he did. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. But luckily, thank God for instincts in my brain. And I was just like, the second he just kept on pushing his hand, I was like, no, man. Not me. It's not me trying to rob in this Paris.
Very, very in this Paris.
So guys, now that quarters are getting open, please don't argue.
I mean, and also I'm going to say it, and I don't want to get too political, but yeah, he was a white guy. And I was very, very like, yeah, because you hear so many stories about Paris and like, well, not Paris, France in general, and like the kind of unrest with like immigrants coming in. Oh, they're bad. They rob, they steal.
Was it not a white woman that we saw at French Open holding to her bag for dear life?
I mean, I wasn't going to mention that.
I'm going to mention that shit because that actually annoyed me. But
yeah, this is a white guy. Obviously, I'm going to guess or assume he was born in France. Like, do you get me? Sees these black tourists thinking, oh, this is what I'm saying. Here.
So
like,
that's the thing. I think because we were right in front of Roland Garros as well, and obviously he probably heard us and stuff. Like, from the outside, you could tell that we're not from there. Do you get what I mean? Eugene was tripped down.
We all looked like, come on.
Eugene like took his time, like looking like fresh and like. So he was thinking like, you know what? I even blame you. It's probably because of you. He saw you thinking like, oh yeah, these people look like money. Let me try and rob them. It's your
Stop
fault.
It. Stop
it's
it.
Your
with
fault.
Your Roland Garros bag.
Your Roland Garros shopping bag and stuff. Bam, he saw us. He was thinking, oh yeah, listen, them niggas got money.
That's enough of that now. But yeah, what an experience. And again, Lucy, shouts out to your street wiseness because, if you weren't as alert, then like you said, that could have been a different situation. But just know he would
not. You don't know, but having that phone right now in your hand.
Just know he would not get that far. Trust me.
You know what? You think
I was ready to pounce when he, like,
they, and that's why you got two guys there with you.
That's true.
Come on. But anyway, yeah, let's get into it now. So I think we should we should start with Novak. We should start with Novak now on 23 Grand Slams. Out there on his own now. Well,
in terms
of the men, and like I said, his 23 is different to Serena's. Like, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to take away from or discredit what Novak's done, but I just think, yeah, in terms of like how Serena's or the crap Serena's had to kind of put up with in throughout her whole career, even Novak to a certain point, like. I do think there's a race element, and there's also the whole like sexism as well, like the kind of is at play with Serena.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Novak, he hasn't really had to deal with that kind of stuff. And a lot of the stuff with Novak, like he's kind of brought it on himself. Like if you really want to like dive into like some of the things or issues he's kind of faced. But yeah, not taking anything away from his achievements, because 23 Grand Slams is massive.
He still won it at the end of the day.
I did like how Yannick Noah was also kind of involved in the whole trophy ceremony. I thought that was a really nice touch, because I think it was 40 years since he last won, which was mad.
That's
like,
crazy.
I mean, and yeah, he's to this day he's the only Frenchman or the last Frenchman to win a Grand Slam, and last Black man to win a Grand Slam too, which is. Mad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but back to Novak, like, yeah, I want to give him props, because I don't think I think he dropped, what, two sets?
That entire...
I don't think...
I'll check, you just kind of...
I don't think he... Yeah, he didn't. He definitely didn't play five sets.
No.
I want to say there was maybe...
I think you're right.
I think there was like, you made one or two four-set matches in there, but didn't really look like that... He wasn't that challenged, I thought.
Hence why he was my pick.
From the get-go.
He was my pick. I kept on saying it, that he was going to win that Grand Slam.
Going into my...
Actually, no, sorry, tell a lie. I was saying him or Alcaraz.
Yeah.
They were both my picks.
Going into money for you, who did you think, in terms of before the French Open started, and like obviously taking everything into account with like Rome and Madrid, like, yeah, where did you think Novak was in terms of his game?
To be honest, I had no idea.
Okay.
It was definitely as Alcaraz or Djokovic. But obviously, Alcaraz had all the form. He played, you know, incredibly well. He'd won Madrid and Barcelona, and he was the favorite.
Yeah.
Like in terms of the betting favorite, whereas Djokovic had one of the worst clay court seasons of his life.
True.
Really,
that's actually true.
Like since he's been a champion, leading up to the French Open, he didn't make a semi final. He had to withdraw from Madrid because he was injured. Like he lost to players like Dusan Lajovic. And but obviously when it gets to a slam and it's best of five and you know it's that's all he cares about now. Like he's just a different person altogether.
Mm-hmm.
And like you saw that, like it's very like, again, it was similar to Serena, like towards the end of her career before her pregnancy, when nothing matters but the slam.
Slammed,
and that's when you switch on. And you're just better.
So he actually lost a set when he was playing against Khachanov during the quarterfinals, and then Alcaraz during the semis.
But besides that,
my guy, he even bageled one of the players on the second round. It's been a
stupid. And there was like a stat about his tie breaks, like.
Yeah,
just completely dominated all the tie breaks that he played.
He didn't hit an unforced error.
It's like,
can you imagine?
Like, what?
Can you actually imagine?
Like, so I don't know as well, again, and I'm not like a Novak stan or like, yeah, I'm not a big free stan, to be honest. But yeah, I do feel like Novak he's different to Federer and Nadal.
How? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, like I think like competitively, like mentally, it's like he kind of wants it more.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not really explaining it properly, and I can't really
I get more of that vibe from Nadal.
Really?
But I think maybe because Nadal's more stubborn with it. Maybe that's what it is.
Mm.
Like, I feel like Novak, for example, he's his belt, I listen to his body, whereas Nadal's like, fuck my body, fuck you guys, I'm going to try and go
win this.
But yeah, man, honestly, I know I joke around and stuff, and blah, 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 yeah. But you have to give credits when credits are due, man. Like, he won, like, what, every slam 3 times, is it? Yeah.
That's wild,
3 times. Yeah. Before you came, me and Tamara were even talking about how, like, this might be the calendar slam year again for him. And I think this year he actually might be able to do it. Because especially that, sorry, if this was the first time where he was trying to do it, then I would have been like, maybe it might get tricky once he gets to US Open. But he's experienced that pressure before.
Yeah.
And I mean, unless Medvedev or Alcaraz try to like move mad at US Open and stop him, then yeah, but if he definitely, I mean, he's been dominating Wimbledon for I don't know how many years now. If he bags that, guys, I'm sorry. That calendar slam is for him.
But who was the last player to do the calendar slam? Or like, has it ever been done?
Male player, it was Rod Laver.
Wow.
And woman, it was Margaret Court.
Wow.
Yeah, so long time.
That would be kind of mad to see that.
I'm not going to lie, after that, I'll even stop chatting shit about him. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's big. Mm. I mean, a lot of players have been close to doing it. Serena's been close.
Sorry. Steffi Graf Erasure, she was the last.
That's it. Steffi. It could have been Margaret Court. Yeah, I was about to say that. Yeah.
Steffi did the Golden Slam in 1988.
She got the Olympic.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
That's true.
That's why we got you here, man. But yeah, I hear what you mean, or I hear you when you say the calendar slam is like there as well. But I feel like Wimbledon's going to be someone else.
You think so?
I do. It's more hope than really feeling it. But like,
that's a lot of hope my guy. Because boy, he's been dominating for like what four years now. Yeah. He's been dominating it. And last year, for instance, he didn't play any grass tournament and he won. And this year, he's doing the same thing again.
I know. That final.
My guy even said for the final, he didn't even practice. He was going, he said, I was on fucking child duty and watched Champions League final.
Scary.
And then if I was Rudy, I'd be like, meet me outside.
That's scary.
Like, meet me outside. Like, why are you loud? Like, keep it down. Very, very scary. I know this was easy, but don't say it like that. A guy like he has no, right now, I feel like he feels like I am undefeated. But he's being very humble with it.
Yeah.
Like, Novak's being extremely humble with it. But I know in his head, he's thinking, you niggas ain't got nothing on me.
On top of the...
It makes sense. Like, bro, if I'm not practicing for a final and I still win, what can you tell me? What can you actually tell me, for real?
Serbia having a great time at the moment. Because,
I saw, like, some NBA... Is it NBA
Denver player? Nuggets, yeah. It's like Nikola Jokic, who's a Serbian. He's, like, finals MVP. So, like, they're going mad. Saying,
I saw... I literally saw a reel on that on Instagram today. And I think while during that thing, he was saying how he was going to send a message to Novak or Novak sent him a message.
They're quite close. Yeah,
which makes sense. But shout out to him, man. It is what it is.
I like what you said about Casper Ruud as well at the start, like, because again, that's a big effort to get to kind of, go back-to-back finals, like at the French Open. And he kind of has established, or we know now, clay is like his surface.
Yeah.
So for him to like get to the final last year and then back it up again this year, I think that's good on his part. And like
finals where he had to face two of the biggest players in the world.
Yeah,
last year Nadal, this year Novak.
And I thought he played quite well.
He improved a lot from last year.
In that final. Yeah. What did you make of...
In the final?
Yeah, in the final.
I mean, he started really well and he came out like crushing the board.
The first set.
And he had like a tiny chance and he couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Like he was up a break and then he let it go. And then he had like, he was up 5-4. Like 30 all, and then miss like an easy second serve return or something, and that's the only chance you get. So he did fine, but he's just playing better players. But yeah, I agree. I think like not only did he back up last year making 2 semifinals, but he was shit. This year.
Although he did win, I think Estoril.
He won Estoril,
which is a 250.
Yeah, yeah. But he was the first person to admit like he was having
not been a
bad year up until like Rome basically, where he made the semis. But you know, he came to a slam and now he knows like best of five, like he knows how tough he is to beat and how he can come through it. And some of the draws that kind of, that he wasn't beating Tsitsipas or Medvedev to get to the finals. But he knows that if he has an opportunity, he's going to take it.
So. I mean, I do want to... I thought the Rune result was good. Yeah. Because I was expecting Holger Rune to win that.
Yeah, like, for sure, yeah.
Just on, the kind of form.
I think a lot of people did, actually.
And like, I think Rune is going to be one of those players that seizes the moment, soon. But yeah, for Rude to come through that the way he did, wasn't really challenged. Well, I think, was that four sets?
Four sets.
Yeah.
But Rune was garbage. Like the first two sets, it was really one-sided.
Yeah.
But I was really impressed with how Rude, at the end, Rune started to kind of build up steam and Rune just shut the door, finished him off and went home.
Because I was more impressed with his game against Zverev, because I was I like Casper Ruud, as in I like his game and watching him, but seeing it in person, I was like, this guy is serious.
Yeah.
Like that forehand, like you said,
that
just forehand cracks
was,
that
forehand.
And
was
the sound, the sound. Like
I was
when you're,
what?
It's wild.
It was actually crazy. Yeah. It was actually
and
crazy.
He kind of toyed with Zverev, I thought, mm-hmm. And I almost embarrassed him a little bit, which 100%. Is a bit mad.
And the maddest thing, which was surprising for me, I did not know a lot of people were fans of Zverev. Respectfully. Not in the back. I just did not actually know. I don't know if it's because I'm so stuck into... Obviously, I only know tennis fans from tennis Twitter. And obviously, most of tennis Twitter don't really like him.
Oh,
so that's why in my head, I think that's why it shocked me as well. Because I was like, I was hearing more people literally cheering for him than Root. And I was like, oh, raw. People actually fuck with him like that.
Yeah.
But I do think what Zverev did was actually quite impressive. This guy was literally limping out of the court
last year. Big for him as well.
Yeah, so the fact that he actually managed to do that was actually crazy. But shout out to Ruud. Shout out to them, man.
Novak as well?
Shout out to Novak. I can't be a hater all the time. Shout out to Novak, okay? But at the end of the day, my point...
Queen Serena
still stands.
I will say I just think it's not even worth comparing Serena and Novak and what they've done.
Yeah,
it's two completely different things. And
yeah,
I mean in many ways as well. Obviously men play best of five, but then Serena won her 23rd slam when she was pregnant, and
what man's doing that? 100%. I completely agree.
No, it's true.
And if she had to make a choice of whether to continue in being in the best physical form of her career or have a child, have a human being. So, and she chose that. And so you don't even know how many she'd have won if she just continued.
Exactly.
That's true. That's
if
actually really true.
She had the benefit of just not having having to have a baby. Having to have to, choose to have whether or not to have a baby.
Yeah.
So I mean, there are a million things. And they're both, in their own sports, they're both up there.
100%. I think that's another feature I hear, maybe. But no, brilliant point, Simone. I completely agree. Let's talk about women's now. Iga Świątek.
Yeah.
Am I saying her name right? It is Świątek.
Świątek.
Świątek. Ooh.
Świątek. Is it?
I just heard back the way that I said it. It's like, oh.
You're the bilingual one, so that should be easy.
I ain't Polish.
It should be easy for you.
I just speak English and French.
Just imagine the W is a V, the way you're saying it.
Okay.
See?
Mate.
Eager.
Yeah, that's what I've got in the notes. That was her third Roland Garros, second in a row, and now she's on four Grand Slams at 22 years old, which is mad. So that's level with Naomi now, Osaka.
Corday, when I catch you.
Hey, chill.
Corday, when I catch you. You couldn't wait any other time? Couldn't you wait after seven Grand Slams or something?
Chill. But no, but I think with Iga too, she looked very dominant. I did think, though, going into the French Open, I thought... Did I call that? I think I did say Rebecca.
You did, actually.
But then she withdrew.
She did.
And I think, at the moment, they say, it's the big three in women's tennis is, Iga, Rebecca, Sabalenka.
Mm.
Which is cool. I do quite like that. You can see why.
Mm-hmm.
I do think Rebecca, if she was fit, I think she would have caused a problem.
I had Iga or Sabalenka.
Really?
To win it. Yeah. I had Iga, and she was pretty close. She was literally semi-finals.
Yeah. What about you, Tamani, going in? Where were you?
I thought Świątek would do it.
You did,
The only concern was that she got injured in Rome.
Yeah.
And she was playing Rybakina and had to retire. So I think it was up until the last practice. she wasn't sure how bad the injury
was.
Wow,
okay.
But once she started like double bageling people, I don't know. It just seems like this is her place now.
Mm. Yeah. And plus with players, when it comes to Grand Slams, rightfully so, it's like life or death type of thing. Everyone just steps up their game. So it makes sense as well.
I hear she's a bit like, but I mean, she seems that way in general. Like she gets quite shy when like journalists bring up the bagels and like.
I mean, yeah, she's not like, yeah, she like actually someone kind of was asking her like, who are you gonna bagel next? And she was like firmly like, I think that's a disrespectful question.
Good on her, man. You know, I like that.
I don't think that's.
You probably don't like that, but
no. I think that's a good answer because how are you asking? And that's how you get her in trouble as well.
Exactly.
Do you get what I mean? Like the fact that it's good thing that she replied it that way. Mm. Obviously, we know what that person was trying to do.
Stop it.
Like start mess, but they're trying to do their job respectfully. But
you're one of us now.
Stop it.
You got me there.
Mad.
You got me there. But I've realized Iga's actually pretty very humble with it. Like she's not really the type to like even her whole bagel thing is actually the fans or even media people.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was even like a little thing about that last year where like, I think one of, I can't remember who, but one of like the, like a tournament. Let's say like tennis TV or something like that. Was it for, or one of the tournaments?
Maybe the WTA.
I was going to say WTA.
Was it WTA?
But yeah, they did a. I think they like did a thing about it.
About a bagel or something. Yeah, and one of the players even commented was like, "This is rude." And I think it was probably Sheriff actually.
Not as a.
It was Sheriff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was Sheriff. Yeah, the Egyptian player. Yeah, she was. I think she was like, "This is not funny. Like, this is not a thing." And I get where she was coming from. That type of comment would have worked better if it was actually coming from a fan. Do you get what I mean? Like, it was like a popular meme. But I think this is where people like us get a bit, like, it's a bit weird. Like, you're trying to do stuff to bring in some entertainment, bring in some engagement, and bring in something. And sometimes it accidentally backfires without really realizing. I mean, that person was probably just trying to do their job and just trying to get some, you know, because everyone's talking about it. Everyone's talking about her bagel.
There's a thin line, yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, they probably thought, okay, this is a cool way to actually like do it and stuff. And it was a cool way, but it's just, if it's coming from a big publication, then it's a bit long still.
It's a great point.
Yeah, but at least she's humble with it. Shout out to Iga. Not too shocked that she won that. But
Karolina Muchova in the final. Who? What's her best result at a Grand Slam before?
She made the semis. She beat Barty Australian Open 2021.
Okay, but she's had like some. She's been unlucky with injuries, hasn't she?
Yeah, and that's why she was very. I think she was very emotional during her speech or something like that.
Because it went to three sets, and I thought again, like I wasn't expecting it to go the distance.
Yeah.
Like at the start, I didn't watch it because I was traveling back, but. Yeah, I was like, oh, this looks like Iga in straight sets. But when I saw, oh shit, it went to three, I was like, fair play.
Yeah, the fact that he went to, I think, was it the second set where it was a bit like.
Yes, so Swiatek was up 6-2, 3 love.
Damn.
And then seemed to be, you know, just cruising another bagel coming. And then it got complicated and, you know, she was a bit nervous. Muchova, like, obviously is a really talented player, like, has a lot of variety. And so it just kind of disrupted her. And then suddenly they're in a third set and Muchova was up a break twice. Mm-hmm. Was up like 2-love in the third.
In the decider.
4-3, yeah.
Shit.
And then from 4-3 up, Muchova, Swiatek won the next three games. And
damn, yeah.
Took the match.
Real champion, like, mentality, man.
Basically.
Like, so again, props to her.
Because
Just like, I think she kind of, because she, you know, she's known for like destroying players and stuff. I think she kind of needed a match like that where she was pushed and she had to like respond because a lot of times she's like this year she's lost the matches she's lost most of them were in straight sets or you know there wasn't as much of a fight and so she had to dig deep and she did it.
And I think players probably enjoy those matches more so than the like straightforward simple straight sets ones because they've had to fight their way through and it's entertainment obviously for us but I think it is probably more fulfilling for the player as well like to come through that it's big on Iga's part. I mean how would it translate now on the grass because
I was just checking now so last the last 2 years she hasn't gone past the fourth round.
Yeah, I think she made fourth round in 2021, and then
yeah,
so
2021.
That's the best result so far.
And last year she actually lost on the third round.
Fascinating. Okay.
So I haven't checked the entry list for the white players. Sorry, so I'm not too sure if she's playing for any of the.
Just being honest.
Sorry, I'm here for my niggas. So I don't know.
I don't think she doesn't play many warm up events.
But she's playing in Bad Homburg.
A lot of players are there. You know, that's a big field.
Yeah. I've realized a lot.
250. It's the same week as Eastbourne.
Yeah.
So I guess that's the only one she's probably doing. Yeah. So we'll see. But from that, it might be a chance for the women then. Yeah. I think for the women this year, we might definitely get a new winner for women.
Yeah,
I think the two favourites are Sabalenka and Rybakina.
Not even Iga.
I don't think she's the favourite. I think she knows as well. Grass is hard. I think she'll probably, the good thing is that, you know, last year she was on the street.
I
think mentally she was fried. But she'll have low pressure and can just, you know.
It's kind of a free hit almost. Exactly, yeah.
And Sabalenka just got her visa as well approved, I believe. Perfect. Because that was a worry. We were thinking she might not be able to make it because apparently some Russian player. Is she the only Russian player that's been approved? Belarusian. Belarusian, sorry.
I don't think it was like made a bigger issue than probably it was. I think the problem is for players who are either renewing their visa or getting. A new one.
Some
of them already had
people. So already have it. Got it.
But yeah, she's good. And I think Andreeva, you know, the 16-year-old who played golf.
Yes. Yeah.
She had to get a new one because she's never been to Wimbledon. So she was the one saying, I'm waiting.
Yeah. Has she got hers then?
She hadn't by the time she lost. But apparently it just takes a
while.
I think she expected to get it. Or her team expected her to get it.
Okay.
To be fair, Home Office here, boy. You're going to be waiting. Mm.
Nice transition here because I want to talk about handshakes.
I was thinking about that, yeah.
We would have seen, Elina Svitolina. She got to the quarterfinal. Okay.
Shout out to her, by the way.
And when I checked her, run, she played, two Russians and a Belarusian, back to back to back. I was like, that's mad.
How the universe works.
I put here in the show notes, I thought she would shake hands or there'd be some more kind of, there'd be more of a interaction between her and Katsukina. There was a thumbs up.
Why did you think that though?
Yeah, because Katsukina's been, she's been the most outspoken Russian player.
But Elena has not, even when she was not playing, she did not stop reminding us that she is not talking or messing about with any of the Russian players. She's been out and to a point where fans are even getting upset with her, being like, you're doing too much. Yeah. So I wasn't surprised.
Because the fans are booing.
The French crowd was hating that shit. They were like, don't bring that shit into our territory, please.
Do you not feel like they weren't really aware, or do you think they were aware?
They were aware.
Kind of think though. I mean, it was a bit. They're being a bit stupid.
Because they
booed. So in the first round, Sabalenka played Kostyuk.
Yeah.
Ukrainian versus Belarusian. They booed Kostyuk because she didn't
shake hands. Yeah.
But then in that match against Svitolina, Kasatkina got to her first, and she was the one who
went to the umpire first.
Well, yeah, and she gave the thumbs up, and then just they said thanks, and then they she walked away because she knows and she's said in the past in Madrid, someone asked her, is it sad that they don't shake your hands? And she was like, what's sadder is that they're at war, blah, blah, blah. She gets it, you know. So she was happy to initiate it.
Yeah.
And then they booed her. So they booed, and then the next day they booed Svitolina. So they're booing Ukrainians and Russians.
No, the French crowd are different. Do you know what? When we were there in person as well, they booed anything, they shouted anything. At some point, for example, during the Djokovic and the Alcaraz match, someone started shouting Federer.
Someone said Songa.
Songa.
What the hell?
Someone was even saying a football player.
Although Songa was actually in the studio. He was doing the Amazon Prime coverage.
Oh, yeah, he is. And someone else was shouting like a football player. I was just what is wrong with these people? But, shout out to the French crowd, man, but or not. But I don't know.
Not.
Okay. The reason why I'm saying that is because one thing I've always said is on this pod how I just love the atmosphere. I think it's because I'm so used to Wimbledon or like grass tournaments where the crowd is much calmer and everything. So going to a tennis tournament now where I'm just like, oh my gosh, like people are actually like running, like going, like people were shouting every single moment. And obviously, I've always seen it on TV, but seeing it live, I was just like, Rod, this is actually real life. Like this actually happens. But I don't know, man. Like, I get where Elena's coming from and stuff.
The Ukrainian players in general, because there's all of them across the board.
It's all of them, yeah, exactly. But the thing is that it's becoming a point where I feel like we're focusing more on that than the actual what is actually going on. To a point where the moment Sabalenka even has to say, I can't even do any press at the moment, and then she comes back and then actually vocally says that she does not support, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the thing is, people were just pandering her. And now I'm really hoping that her and her family stay safe, because what happens now if something happens to her and her family? What are the Ukraine players are going to say?
Yeah.
That's my thing.
She actually denounced the Belarusian...
Lukashenko.
She did. That's what I'm saying. What if something happens then? Yeah. What are they going to say?
Because I don't want to get on like the journalists as well, but like I do feel like they kind of have a responsibility to kind of and I'm not looking at you, but like, yeah, like whoever asks her that question about, oh, like, do you agree with like the president? I mean, obviously she doesn't agree. Like,
I think that's what I'm frustrated as well.
Not necessarily. I do think like that in general, it's valid to ask. There was a question to be asked about her relations with the president, just because. So in like 2020, Belarus, this is like unrelated to things that have been happening recently, but Belarus had like this, they had an election and people widely thought it, like the president dictator, like stole it, like, you know.
Okay.
Like.
So some corruption, basically.
And so there were mass protests and in the streets, like hundreds of thousands of people. And then, you know, his police, you know, as they always do, got violent and, you know, arrested all people. And then in the new year, Sabalenka showed up at his like new year address, and so
is this when she was like all done up? Okay.
The first time I saw that, because like, the first image is like
double take.
It's of the president and the back of someone's head and curly hair, and then the camera just pans and it's like Sabalenka, and I was like, oh my god! But yeah, for that reason, like people in Belarus were. A lot of people were mad at her, and obviously you don't really know, like with dictators, like if they invite you,
exactly,
you have to go. Mm. I don't know if it's that, or if she actually supports her. And she's like, she said like in the past, someone was like, I can't believe you'd gone to this, you know, you'd supported him, and she was like, in like an Instagram comment was like, you can't forget what he's done for sports in this country or something. For that reason, like, you know, people have pointed that out now that he's supporting Russia in the war.
Got it.
So like, I think there are valid questions to ask about it.
Fair enough.
But like, what happened in Paris was just like mad, because it was actually like the initial issue was that there was a Ukrainian journalist at the French Open.
Okay.
And there's normally never a Ukrainian journalist.
Yeah.
And she was asking like asking pretty like. Aggressive questions, and
I can imagine,
and like it got very heated, and that's why.
So that's why she took the break.
Yeah,
got it.
And so there was one heated kind of interaction, and in the next one, it just
were you there for that?
I was there in the first one, then the second one I wasn't there.
Okay,
but it was like she refused to answer the journalist's question, and she was just, you know, she was pissed. The journalist was pissed because the journalist was like, oh, now we know what you really think, kind of thing. And the problem is because she decided not to. Then she decided not to do the press conferences, and that was a whole like. I won't bore you, but like.
No, we're here.
Yeah. But that was a whole other drama.
Yeah.
First of all, I'll say like because she didn't do the press conferences, when she finally came back, so there must have been like five people in her second round press conference. Wow. Because she missed two of them. when she came back, it was a packed room.
I could imagine.
Everyone like, you know,
standing room only.
Her whole thing was like, I don't want to make it political, but as soon as you kind of draw, you know, draw attention to that, the press conference was surreal because almost every question was political. About political.
That's just nuts.
That's just crazy.
And yeah, she answered that question about Lukashenko, and so she in a way like I understand why she was, you know. Why it was frustrating or whatever, 100%. But she kind of set herself up because she then more and more questions were asked, and she actually thought she handled it about as better than I thought she would. Like she answered them all of the questions, and she like when she said that, I was like, "What would you?"
Yeah,
like,
everyone was taken back. Like the whole of tennis Twitter was like, I hope you guys pray that nothing happens to her and her family.
How old is she?
She's 25.
She's 25. She's a
young girl, man.
People are moving like she's in her mid-30s. And
she
also,
like, she recently lost her, she lost her dad as well. Like, I've always kind of looked at her and been, I've admired her, like, basically. Like, do you get me?
Yeah.
Now she's a Grand Slam winner as well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't want to say I'm tired because that makes it sound like I'm kind of dismissing what's going on in Ukraine. But like, yeah, I do feel, I don't know, I just wish this wasn't happening because it's putting the players in a really like uncomfortable position. And it does kind of take me back to like 2020 with the whole Black Lives Matter stuff. When that was all kicking off and you had like Coco Gauff and Naomi Osaka, all the black players like speaking on issues that had nothing to do with tennis. But because they were like black and like in a prominent position, they took this like kind of took it upon themselves like admirably, but like it was wrong.
Yeah,
really.
At least they were not pandered with like questions from the media. First of all, it's probably been the same, but at least it wasn't that long. It's been what, over a year now.
I mean, and a war. Obviously, I'm not trying to like liken Black Lives Matter to like a war. Let's not go there. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah,
it's just very unfortunate. And I just hope, the war ends. Basically,
the thing is, I with Sabalenka, I don't think she's like really handled it as well as some other people. Like, as you said with Kazakina, like, she gets it. And so, like, in Madrid, again, like, she did a press conference where every question was about the war or politics and that. And she just, I don't know, she just handled it all easily. She was, you know, whereas Sabalenka the whole time has been like, oh, I'm not a politician, which I understand it. Like, when you're like, I don't think sports shouldn't mix with politics. I think that line
makes it worse.
I think that's wrong. Okay. You know,
and
just things like that. And like, I don't know. She just kind of, she didn't get that. Just some of her answers weren't great.
Yeah.
But anyway, so was gonna say with this, when she stepped away and didn't do press conferences for two rounds, the first time it happened, the mad thing was that it just wasn't like communicated to the journalists. Like, you know, she'd won her match, and then we're waiting for a press conference, and in the press room, like the press room, like where all the desks are, you can see the press conference room where they do, you know, where they do the press conferences, and you know, I'm sitting at my desk and other people, and then suddenly you just see like the transcript drops, Sabalenka press conference transcript, and you're like, there's all these questions.
So you guys didn't even get the announcement saying that she was not coming?
No. And you're like, that room's empty.
Like, when did it happen?
Oh, my God.
Some ghost.
Yeah, and so, like, so after that, then me and a few other journalists, we went to a tournament and, like, what's going on? And the tournament were basically lying. Like, you know, first of all, they were like, oh, it's only, it was a pool of selected journalists who spoke to her. And it was actually just one, you know, one person from the WTA who did it. But like
it's like an in-house thing.
Which is I think it would have. I don't know. It would have been. The main thing is that they just they lied basically.
Yeah, that's
When we're trying to ask like who was it, you know, what happened, they're like really defensive and like couldn't believe that these questions were being asked. And couldn't believe that they could be used
as if you're not even trying to do your job.
This is the thing, exactly what you're there to do. Like that is mad.
So it was it was a lot of drama. Basically.
Wow.
Look at the French causing
behind
trouble.
The scenes things.
And that too, exactly. Inside scoop. I like that. Wow. Incredible. But yeah, I mean, I think we've spoken enough about the handshakes now, but Yeah, let's get into like some of our players now. I think we should. I think it's about
actually,
time.
Actually, before, I should have said this at the beginning of the pod. Guys, one of the reasons why Tamani is here is because I have not caught up with a lot of the matches.
Oh, damn.
Unfortunately, I was out of office.
Unfortunately.
Or should I say fortunately? I was out of office. I was shaking my ass and I was drinking on a beach with my niggas. Shout out to DLT. I had a time of my life. So unfortunately, I paid Eurosport for nothing because I did not watch that many matches. So if throughout this podcast I am sounding unsure and I'm sounding unprepared, please forgive me. I was out of office. I was enjoying with my people. You know, soft life, soft life.
And a great time has had.
Yes.
We're happy for you, Lucy.
Thank you.
But yeah, back to normal scheduling. Well, yeah. Guillaume Monfils. Mm-hmm. First round win against Sebastian Baez. Were you there for that?
Yeah.
Wicked. How was that? That must have been a crazy atmosphere.
Yeah.
Like, that was a 5-set thriller. I don't have the score down here, but yeah, all I know, he cramped up, because I did watch the end. He cramped up. I want to say he was 4-love down.
Oh, yeah. So he'd been up, like, he was up 2-1.
Exactly, yeah.
And then he lost, like, 11 games in a row. He went from 2-1 to I think it was, 1-6, love 4.
Looking like an old man. Yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Lamont, don't do this.
Yeah, and then, so it's funny because it kept on. So Bears won the first set, then he won the second, then we won the third, then Bears won the fourth set, and then Monfils won the last set.
But in that fifth set, I want to say he was 4-love down.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, for him to come back the way he did, and I think he was cramped up as well in that decider.
He could barely move.
Like, I was like, flipping hell. Like, I didn't get emotional, but I was just like, wow. Like,
that was one of the things scenes that I saw everywhere, despite not being able to watch that match. Everyone was talking about that. Mm. Everyone was talking about it. Everyone was sharing, like, his old videos when he was young. Like, basically, like, just showing that, like, raw. Like, this guy is it. I'm happy for that win before him because he hasn't won anything since he's been back.
Mm. Yeah.
So the fact that he was able to get even though it's just one round, but a grand slam.
In Paris,
that's something.
It's massive.
It's really mad, like, how COVID, he's, of all players, he's probably been the most affected by COVID.
Yeah.
If you remember, in like,
that's true.
In like Feb 2020, he was playing some of the best tennis in the
back to back.
He had match points against Djokovic and
Is that Dubai?
It's
true. Right before COVID, he was actually on track. That's true.
COVID hit him, and COVID.
Oh my God!
So true. Yeah.
And now he's just now. Since then, it's just been a string of, like, I think when he first came back, he, like, just mentally playing in front of the crowds.
Yeah,
and,
it's tough.
Wasn't good. And since then, it's just been injury after injury.
And he's now a dad.
And now,
And now he also has another injury. Like, he was...
Is it a wrist?
Yeah, wrist.
He unrelated.
He had a cast on his arm the whole time. Yeah, and so...
I actually completely forgot that, yeah, he was on job right before COVID. Like, it was like, I was so excited. I was like,
you've mentioned it before, like, on the pod. And whenever Tamani says it, I'm like, it's so true.
Yeah, it's so true, like, yeah. So, and it's true that he's the only, like, we haven't seen any other player, like, really
go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And there's probably a few, but particularly for him at this stage of his career.
At this stage, yeah.
Like, there's some players who may lose a few years, but maybe they'll get back.
Yeah.
Whereas, but with Monfils, it's like, time is ticking, boy. Mm. He's like, what, 37, 36?
36.
Yeah.
Oh, Lamont. But hopefully he'll be ready for Wimbledon, because I think he did say he plans to be back. Or he plans to play Wimbledon, so fingers crossed, because, yeah, I definitely want to be seeing Lamont on the grass. And I think, the grass court season, it's like, it's mad. Mm-hmm. And it's anybody's, but yeah, we hope to see Lamont back. We're kind of going around, and not back and forth, but, like, we're mixing between men and women. So Coco Gauff,
yes,
quarterfinalist, also runner-up last year. I thought she had a good run. Because she had no form coming into the French.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, she lost to the eventual champion, Iga Świątek, in the quarterfinals. That was a straight sets defeat. But I'm interested to hear what you guys think. I thought that match against Świątek was her best performance in terms of against Świątek. That's probably the best match she's played against her.
Do you know what?
Especially when I was first
watching,
set.
Yeah, no. When I was watching the match, this is why tennis gets so interesting. When I was watching the match, I was thinking the same thing. But when I was prepping for the pod and I was looking at the numbers, I was like, wait. So her first serves, like the last couple of matches that she played against her were actually better. But she actually like had more break points. What she didn't, she didn't win.
Really been diving into them stats.
Guys, listen. When I realized I didn't watch anything, yeah, I was like, I need to step my game up for this sport. I can't come and embarrass myself. Like,
you used to move like tennis inside.
Hey. I may have been shaking ass, but I'm going to come prepared at Blackspin Global Podcast. You get what I mean?
I respect it. I like
it. But obviously she only won like one of her break points, but she had like five. Whereas before in other matches, it was like two.
Okay.
Or like three. So it was interesting. It was weird because even I definitely agree. I felt like she did, but again, you look at the numbers, you're like, oh. So if I didn't watch the match, yeah, I probably would have been thinking, wait, same Eugene, what are you talking about?
Same old story.
Yeah, I'd be like, wait, Eugene, what are you talking about? That actually wasn't her best match. But I think because of the break points, when I saw the break points, the difference, I was like, okay, I can see where like this was, because even the first set, Iga was a bit rattled a little bit. But I've always said it, every single match, she gets better. Yeah. Like, every single match, but Iga...
I cannot wait for that time.
God,
I cannot wait. It's coming.
Guys, I'm going to be shouting like crazy. I'm popping bottles. We're going insane. Because like,
it's coming.
That time's going to come. And when that time comes, we're going to celebrate big time. Because Iga, you're taking this shit too far. Well,
What did you make of Coco?
I was impressed. Because, I mean, first of all, as you said, yeah, she came into the French Open. I think she was 3-3. Like, her form was bad. And she said it. And, you know, she was not happy with where she was at. And... A lot of different things, like split with her coach.
Exactly.
Obviously, her forehand, you know, everyone's talking about.
We don't talk about forehand here. We don't.
But, like, I mean, it had been an issue, but she came to Paris and she had a good draw. Like, she didn't play any, you know, a top seed, but she went through it. And I think, like, the third round against Andreeva.
Oh, what a match. Which
was, if I was her, I would have been very tense because, I mean, her whole career. Until last year, she'd never played someone who's younger than
crazy.
Her. Like, in any level.
Oh,
in
really? Not in
juniors.
That's wild.
Wow. And then this was the first time she played some... Like, the player... She played Montgomery last year.
Yeah.
And then she played Noskova.
Yeah, that's love, yeah.
And both of them are 2004, same age, just a few months younger. This is the first time she played someone who was, like, years younger than her.
Mm.
And she was, like, you know, the grown person on the court. So and she lost the set, but then she came back. And
she lost the opening. It was the opening set lost as well, wasn't it?
6-7, yeah. Tied for a set, but then she came back and won it, and then made the quarters. And so against Swiatek, for me, it was definitely her best showing in recent ones. Since, you know, there were a few tight ones earlier on.
Yeah.
But because she actually decided to completely change her tactics. Like, she came to she played the match like. She was trying to hit loopy forehands and
switch it up.
And also like really attacking returns, which she doesn't normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she completely, it was clear like she completely switched it up. And I think that's kind of, I don't know, that's impressive to me in general, because a lot of younger players will just be like, I'm playing my game.
Play exactly
the same way all the time. But she showed she could like change things up, like, and stick to it.
Mm.
And it wasn't like, the tactics were good. In the end, it was like execution. I think
exactly.
She got to 4-0, 30-0, had her chances and didn't really take them.
Mm.
And then kind of when in the key moments, I think she just kind of lost. There wasn't the confidence there. And so that, you know, from 4-0, 30-0, the first set went quickly. Then she had a few break points in the second set, couldn't really convert them. And then again, just got a bit frustrated, made a few errors, and then it was over.
Are we giving some credit here? Or are we not going
to? No comment.
Maybe edit this part out, but anyway, I like everything you said, Simone, about Coco. I completely agree with, like, in terms of her coming in and having no form, for her to do what she did, and then for me, it's never bad when you lose against the eventual champ.
Yeah.
So for me, too good. And yeah, I just feel like with Coco, like, yeah, we're just watching her just continue to grow and get better.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like her time's coming. She will get that win against Iga very, very soon.
Man.
And her record at French Open is, she's gone quarterfinal, final, quarterfinal.
I mean, come
19.
On. She's 19 years old. Like, do you get me? Come on. I feel like we take her for granted as well. Like, I 100%. Really do. But yeah. Shouts out to Coco, as always. Fits now I want to talk about. And I want to start with our guy, Francis Tiafoe. So, yeah, he was wearing his Nike. Well, obviously, he's a Nike athlete. So he was wearing a custom collaboration with IDK, who someone, I'm going to be honest, and I'm a music guy, I'd never heard of IDK before.
Oh, is it?
I'd never heard of him.
I heard of him, but I just didn't know he was from the same.
And I can tell you now, I've listened to the album, and I would thoroughly recommend.
No, he's good.
It goes very, very hard. F65, some promotion for you. Yeah, really, really. He's a solid artist. So he's actually a musician and like an artist as well. Like he designs clothes and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, this fit that Francis was wearing, very clean, like black. I think you can never go wrong with black. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think you can go wrong with black, like, clothing. And with Francis as well, like, he does spend a lot of time, like, yeah, he takes care of his fits.
So I feel like this year a lot of people have been talking about it and they've been loving it.
Yeah.
They've been loving it.
So it was nice to see him, like, have that custom, like, apparel because, yeah, other Nike athletes, they were just wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, shows. There's levels to this shit. But yeah, Francis, he got to the fourth round. Was it the fourth or third?
It was fourth.
Was it the fourth round?
Oh, I have it here.
No, it was the third round.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
It was the third round. He lost to Serrera on Kshatriya. That was a 4-set match. But I was most impressed with his second round match against Aslan Karatsev. Because I think that was a 4-set win again. But Karatsev, I think he was a qualifier. I don't know how his rankings dropped so far down. But very dangerous player. I was watching that at work because I was working, unfortunately. But I was very impressed with like Francis's game in that match.
Yeah, he had like a lot of like break points.
Just looked his very assured.
His win on the first serve was like pretty high as well.
And like, I feel like he's kind of playing now to where his ranking is, which is like, 11, 12. Like he's about to make him break into the top 10 and like he's playing that level now like consistently, which is great to see. I don't know if did you see much of him?
I didn't watch the Karatsev match. I watched bits of Zverev match where he obviously had his
moments.
I mean that was tough. I think he was rightfully like pissed off and disappointed.
I saw a lot about that. What was that about?
Yeah, he just had it. Yeah, like I think it was a tie break two tie breaks.
And it was just tight for a certain match, and he had his chances, but couldn't get it done.
Yeah, and like Zverev as well. Like I feel he does kind of he has his number at the moment. Which is a bit annoying.
Yeah,
but again, his time's gonna come.
Who's Zverev?
I mean, Francis against Zverev.
Francis, yeah.
Like so, yeah.
But I swear, last time Francis beat him, right?
Did he beat him?
I'm pretty sure. That's why initially I thought, Francis can probably.
I don't know. But yeah, what do we make of Francis's fit before we move on to Sloane?
I loved it.
Of course. How did I miss that? So yeah, IDK, he's actually Sierra Leonean. I want to say Ghanaian as well.
Oh, is it?
I think, yeah. But American. But yeah, heritage is Sierra Leonean and Ghana.
And if anyone doesn't know, I'm Sierra Leonean.
Shout out to West Africa.
It's cool, actually. It feels like Francis has been like, just like, loudly repping it even more like this year. You know, he like hashtags everything now with
TMC
just a boy from Salon.
Yeah, just a boy from Salon. and the marathon continues are the two things he always hashtags on his
love
post.
Love that.
Yeah, but I'm happy for him for this Clayton. I mean, he got his title.
In Houston.
You know, and then he came to Europe and, you know, tried to do his thing. Obviously, Rome was a bit of a headache.
Oh,
but then, who cares? He went to Tunisia after that and had, like, a nice little holiday with his girl.
You weren't there for that, the Massetti drama.
Oh, I was there.
How was that?
I wasn't there when, like,
when it happened.
The rain drama.
Okay, yeah.
Right.
But I did watch a bit of it.
Yeah, the rain drama was a bit... I think a lot of things were frustrating him. So I like the fact that he actually went... took a break and then, you know, came back and made it to the third round. But I'm looking forward to him for grass season. I'm not gonna lie.
Got a good win today as well as we record this against
Yuri
Lehetka in Stuttgart.
Straight sets as well.
This is his surface grass. So.
That's what I said to him. That's,
yeah.
He loves grass.
That's what
I said. Exactly.
It's his season.
It is just cool. Like, you don't often see Sierra Leone rep just on a big stage like that. Free down. So it was nice.
I love that. Another player who had an impressive fit, Sloane Stephens.
Yes.
Man, the colour palettes.
I
love the blue. I think it was the second round. She wore the blue fit. And I just think blue, I'm going to go a bit Dr. Umar here. Blue, the blue shade on black women. Yep. Oh my word.
Oh yeah.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she looks stunning. Like, in every single round. And she wore different colours for each round again, which I like when players do that, because it's like, obviously, it gets quite boring just wearing the same. A lot of players wear the same thing now because they're all sponsored by the same sponsor, which is cool.
Yeah.
But like, when you want to switch it up and like, yeah, it just adds to the experience.
And do you know what I like about this is that people obviously were making a big deal about her losing under Nike deal and stuff. So,
like I said, she's putting FP movement. I mean, I've never heard of FP movement, but I mean, now we know.
It's so refreshing to like seeing how she just flipped it around and just, you know, like embracing it all. And like, everyone's literally talking about like her fits. And now she's probably even happy with the fact that she can do what she wants with it, you know, like.
It's so true.
So it's pretty cool. And I knew she'll kill it. Like, I love like what Sloane does even outside of the court, like the whole lifestyle stuff. Like, she's a lot into like fashion, mental health, beauty and everything. Like, I really like it. So I like how she's integrated that into her game as well, because people are like loving the fits. Mm. Like, I will agree as well. I definitely love the blue on her. That was definitely my favorite as well.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And she's, I mean, just in the tennis, she's another great tournament. Round of 16. She's made the round of 16 so many times.
Yeah, I've always said it. When it comes to Roland Garros, I don't know what happens, but Stevens is like, that's it.
Clay is her surface. Like,
yeah.
And she said that she loves the clay.
Like, No, clay is her surface, but when she's there, like at the French Open, it's like different levels. So that's why I never worry when she's there, because I'm just like, we're going to make it even through the second week, and which she did.
Because she lost to Sabalenka. In the last 16. That was on Philippe Chatrier. That was the only
night match,
women's night session, which was a bit mad. And again, that started a bit shaky for Sloane. I think she was like five love down. And then she switched it up, did it go to a tie break?
Yeah, it went to a tie break.
And then she lost in the second set. But it was a good match, like I thought, in terms of...
Well, actually, before we even jumped to that, people were already scared of her first round. Pliskova.
Oh shit. Talk. See.
Pliskova. Like.
Yeah.
First of all, she bageled my girl. That first set was a bagel. And then, because I'm not going to lie, a lot of people were chatting. And I was like, I actually wasn't that scared. Like, everyone was so, because she went through to like what, the semi-finals or quarterfinals of that tournament in Morocco, Tunisia, what was it?
Yeah. Was it Morocco?
I forgot. I can't
North
remember.
Africa. Yeah.
It's somewhere.
Was it Marrakesh?
I think, yeah.
Was it Marrakesh? No, I think Marrakesh is the men.
Was it Rabat? I can't remember.
But yeah, there was definitely the tournament.
There was a tournament there. She reached like what, the quarterfinals? Semi-finals. Yeah. And then, you know, for people were like, oh yeah. And then when the draw came, I like, she's playing Pliskova. I was like, well, Pliskova's not even making any noise.
I don't know what their head-to-head is, but I want to say it's good on Sloane's side. So.
Whichever it is anyways.
Yeah, but Pliskova's the seed.
She's a seed, but Pliskova has not, like, I've actually not even heard her name for a hot moment. Respectfully, that's number one. And number two, like I said, when Stevens plays clay, it's different. So while everyone was chatting, I was like, nah, she got this. Did I expect a bagel? No. But I am really happy that she did. Like, she played really well. I feel like maybe she probably even felt like the pressure was on her as well. And maybe she felt like she had to show out. So, like, yeah, shout out to her in that match. Like, that was incredible. For her to get that for the first round and then make it to the second round and then lose into a recent Grand Slam champion, I would take it. I'm not going to lie. Especially that, you know, it's been a bit rocky, but she pushed it through. Like, I'm proud of her.
No, definitely.
And I'll say, like, as a journalist, from a journalist side, I hope she has a good run on grass so you can see. But like any time Sloane goes deep, like, it's just a good time. Like, when she's in a good mood and press, like, she's obviously, she's so funny. And
I saw your Instagram post. asking the only tennis question. Yeah.
but that was a funny thing because it was like a 15-minute press conference and basically talked about everything but tennis.
Wow.
Obviously, she's in the player council, so she was giving like kind of insightful answers on the Ukraine, the whole thing.
Yeah.
But then we were like, you know, I asked her about a kind of a joke question. You know, she'd like in the past she played Putin's saver.
Mm.
And in the past she was like, you know, what was it?
If it's not one scam,
it's another. So I like threw it back to her. I was like, someone once said, if it's not one scam, and you just thought, like, I wasn't sure if she was going to get it.
Like, yeah, of course
she didn't remember, like, if she was the one who said it.
Yeah.
But as soon as I said the first line, her face was and she was like, and you saw it. But she's funny, like, she's reached a point in her career where she doesn't care. Like,
yeah, just chill.
She just chills.
Like, she knows, like, she can be herself while knowing, like, her limits. You know what she doesn't want to broadcast and what she does, so it's just a good time. You know,
I love that.
That's great, man. Shout out to her.
That's brilliant. I love that.
Yeah,
but she does seem like that kind of way. Like even away
that's what
from,
I said. Yeah, like yeah, honestly, yeah. And I think some people kind of have a problem with that. I think they
really?
you know what, with tennis, everyone wants the whole like, you have to be all about the game, like 24/7 and stuff like that. Whereas, fam, she went to bloody carnival in Jamaica. Like,
yo!
And your people there.
Yo!
And like, I saw everyone be like, oh, your peers are and you're in carnival. And apparently, I think I saw
someone did her some
tweet.
Bloody good. Like, she ended up winning a tournament. Like,
exactly, see?
The 125.
There we go. But even before that, I saw one of our followers actually tweeting, I forgot who it was, but they actually tweeted about how she actually said she always wanted to go to the carnival during that time, but obviously she couldn't because of tennis.
Yeah.
So now it seems like, you know, she's just like, you know what, let me just live life and like listen, she really got a grand slam in her bag. Once you have that, you can't tell me nothing. Like, I don't really care. Like,
I love that.
Whether it happened 20 years ago, whether it happened 2 years ago.
Well, what about living
there
life?
Are some players that I've been playing since they started and they have never won more than 500. So, respectfully, let Stevens do her thing. Let her live her life. Shout out to her. Looking forward to her for grass season. And, yeah.
Indeed. Well said. But, yeah, night sessions, guys. Quickly, what are your views on the whole night session thing?
I mean, I just think the whole thing's bullshit, to be honest. The whole like concept of night sessions, they should be abolished.
Because it's not really a night session as well in France, because it's one match.
It's one match. And so the whole thing is that they sold... So, you know, France is... the French Open is normally broadcast on France Television, which is basically like BBC.
It's like
national broadcaster and on like free to air TV.
Mm-hmm.
But they sold off one match a night, a day to Amazon Prime, France.
Yeah.
And it's obviously crazy money, so you know, but it's just stupid. It's so stupid.
Like, I mean, with French as well, I think it's fairly relaxed in Europe in general, but like they do things quite late. So the argument I've heard from I think it was Amelia Moresmo saying that they didn't want to go on until like past midnight, like how they do in like Australia and the US.
Mm-mm-mm.
But I don't really see the French really having any issues if a match was to go.
I think it depends what type of match is it. If you have like top players, for example, like if it was, let's say like the Novak and Alcaraz match was a night match.
Yeah,
and
which
it's
I thought
like,
it was going to be.
It's going to be like, yeah, I thought the same as well. And it was going to go like overboard. Like, I feel like it just depends who is. Yeah.
But the thing is that none of the players want it. Like which
makes sense.
All the players are requesting to play in the day because you want to play when it's faster. You don't
want to
play in cold, slow conditions. None of it's bad for the fans because like you're paying for one match and it may be a shit match. I mean, most of those matches were like straight sets. They're not very interesting. And so because players don't want to do it, a lot of they were saying it's like the showcase match. Well, it wasn't even,
it wasn't
always the best match. So I think, like, it's obvious they were treating, like, men and women differently and putting, you know, because since there was only one women's match, but you could...
That's crazy.
You could avoid that. The fact that they're putting them, basically pitting them against each other is, I think, the problem. And so I'm full on abolish. abolish them down
what
night
you're first. Saying makes sense. Fair play. What you're saying makes sense.
Yeah. I guess it would make your job easier as well, like not having to flip and foul late stories before 10 o'clock.
It makes sense. But it's still a shame that it was only, like, I do agree we should, like, abolish it and stuff, but it's, unfortunately, is a thing in our sport. And because of that, it's actually a shame that there's only one women match that actually where that happened. Like, it's just ridiculous. And it just makes me wonder, what's the point of having a female director that's not even rating the females?
Stop it. I think her job is difficult as well, though, man. Because it's like, it's not as simple as it sounds, I think.
I get it. Do you know what? At times, I've been saying this for a very long time. I probably even said it in a pod before, nearly every French Open. I generally feel like she's probably been there for decoration and then other people just make up the rules. That's what it could be. The fact that it's even a woman, knowing how France is, and this is...
And you've always said this.
I'm speaking this from someone who's been around French people, who even worked in a French company as well. And boy, that was easily one of the worst time of like my career life. I'm not going to lie. It really wasn't easy, especially being a black woman. I find it even surprising that it's even a woman that's the director for Roland Garros. But even that, I've always felt like maybe they just did that just to keep them out. But optics. Did she say anything about the whole...
She just kind of talked in circles and, you know.
Because there was a press conference after.
But it was last year that kind of, she made headlines because she said, like, the women's product isn't as attractive or something.
Mad.
And that became, like...
And that's what I was saying to myself. I was like, either is that or she's them type of women that are like... I don't even know if I'm going to keep this bit or not, but I'm just going to say it. But like, there are some women, especially white women, where they like being in power with the other men in the room.
Okay.
So I think it's a thing where for her, she's probably feeling that way. And it's like, oh, I'm at a big table now. So let me play along. A little bit like a coon. You know when coons are like with around like...
The equivalent of a coon.
No, but it's true. You know when coons are around like white, like... I never understood coons because it's like, bro, at the end of the day, you are still a nigger and they're always going to see you like that.
This has been a very, very political
episode,
you know.
But in the same way with her, she's probably thinking she's eating with the big boys, but they're probably still seeing her as a woman, a female. Do you get what I mean? Like, that's literally how they see her. But it is what it is, man. At the end of the day, people are saying, they can say about whatever they want about women's tennis, but they need to focus on ATP, man. The WTA is good out here. We good.
I hear you. Before we wrap up now, let's talk about some success on the doubles court.
Yes.
So Claire V. Ngunwe. I hope I'm saying her name right.
It is Ngunwe. This is probably the best way you've actually said her name.
Thank you. Tyra Katerina Grant. They won the girls doubles event on Saturday, I want to say it was. And I actually bumped into Claire V on the Friday.
Do you want to actually explain the full story?
I do and I don't. So long story short, I was a bit, I don't want to say waved. I had just backed a whole glass of champagne. I say glass, it was like half a glass.
It was a little bit more than half. Okay. It was a lot.
And I'm not a drinker.
No, the only reason, just to clarify, it's not like we were. And it's funny as that, boy. We've hung out outside. We know. We've hung out before. Now, just to clarify, we didn't know at French Open you can't go to the stadiums with like alcohol. So when we got to the front, they were like, you can't bring alcohol in. We were like, raw. So we were like, fuck it, let's down it. So we downed it like quick. And obviously champagne already in general gets you wave a little bit more.
It was
Moet as well. Like it was a real shit. Like, and it's so funny, we were so bougie with it. Like we walked past it, we were like, should we just get a glass? Like, yeah, come on, fuck it. Like we just like, fuck it, we're at French Open. We're not media accreditation, we're here as fans. We might as well just fucking drink. So we did that, little did we know, we actually had to fucking down it. So we downed it and then we went in. Eugene, yeah, it hit him a little bit. At one point, he was even kind of sorry. I was like, bro, speak properly. He was trying to talk to me. I was like, Eugene, what the fuck are you trying to say? Like, sorry, can
why
you
are you
speak?
Embarrassing me for, man?
So then he was like, but this, the reason why I'm saying this goes to the story, because he was like, nah, Lucy, I need to go get water.
No, I said crisps. I want crisps.
Yeah, crisps. He was like, I'm going to get crisps and water. So then he got up and he went to get that, and then that's when you met. And then I'm chilling and everything. I'm sitting down, and then Eugene was like, yo, Lucy, there's Clary like right in front of me, but I'm like, wave, like, I don't think I can like go and speak to her. I've put in caps. I was like, bro, you better go fucking speak to her, fam. That like, she follows her page, that like, she knows who we are. Like, come on, do this. And then that's when.
I did. So yeah, got my crisps. Claire V was there with her agent, I want to say, and another woman. I don't know who she was, but
yeah, I just went up to Clairvy and just introduced myself. And yeah, she knew like who we were in terms of the platform. She goes, oh my God. And I was like, oh, like really made me feel like, yeah. I was like, damn, like I feel like I'm somebody right now. But yeah, I was really struck by like, she has an aura. I don't know, have you ever met her?
No.
Like she's, I want to say she's 16 or 17. She's quite tall as well. I don't know how tall she is, but she's quite tall.
Mm.
Very like, you can tell when she comes into a room, like you know she's there.
Mm.
Like, because that's how I felt like when I was speaking to her. I was like, this girl has presence. And like, she's currently the world junior
Where's
world
she
number
from
one.
Originally, do you remember?
So she's American, but I think her background is Cameroon. Her parents are Cameroonian.
Cameroon.
Yeah.
I was thinking so, because Cameroon people, they like that.
Really?
When they walk in a room, you know.
I was like, I was really taken aback. I was like, this girl has,
yeah,
like,
no,
has
when,
an aura.
When they walk in a room, you know.
So yeah, she was like, yeah, she lost in the quarterfinals, I think, in the girls' event to a Russian who she'd never heard of, she said. Like, had no idea who she was. And like, yeah, she just played unbelievable. And then she was like, oh yeah, but she's in the finals tomorrow with Tyra. And she was like, yeah, like looking forward to that. And that's obviously a finals for them. So I was like, oh, best of luck. And yeah, like hopefully we can talk to you in the future. And I mean, yeah, like I said, they ended up winning, which is great.
Great, yeah.
And I want to say that's her second Grand Slam, because she won the Australian Open juniors doubles last year, I want to say.
I think it was 2 years.
I want to say it was last year.
Let me double check.
Oh, what's that girl's name? Because she's done quite well, the Russian girl, since. I think she's got some big wins, like on the WTA tour. And I think it was like the Australian Open this year. She got a win in the main draw. But yeah, Claire V, fantastic. Also doubles.
It was last year, sorry.
Yeah.
With Diana Schneider.
That's
yeah,
it.
Schneider.
Also in the doubles, so Taylor Townsend and Leila Fernandez finished runners up. And this is a fairly new like partnership.
Yeah.
But very, very successful.
Very.
And again, we should also shout out them too as well, because
oh, yeah,
their fits.
The
pink, they kind of match up as well, even though they're not sponsored by the same outfit company, but
they did it well.
They match up nicely.
And Taylor wore her play suit. Mm-hmm.
And that too.
At the French Open. Mm. Shout out to her for that.
And yeah, shout out to Taylor's coach as well, John, who we interviewed last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Been in correspondence with him. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, some things coming up for grass court season, but we'll keep you in loop, or yeah, we'll keep you posted on that. But yeah, Taylor and Leila getting to the Grand Slam final. They beat Coco and Pegula in the semis, mm-hmm. which I don't think many people saw coming, because that was a straight sets win for them. Where are we going?
I will edit this bit if I can't say it, but she did. She
I mean,
did.
She, why not say it?
Okay, well, she did. She did say she was.
I'm coming.
I mean, I'm coming.
They're coming for them.
Like privately, she did say I'm coming, and she fucking did.
Delivered.
Because, bro, she bageled them in the first. They bageled them in the first set.
Mad.
That's crazy.
Very, very
first
mad.
Set. She came from. I mean, hey, Taylor actually warned us last year. Like she said, like
yeah,
this is just the beginning.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll be like, you know,
that was with Katie McNally.
Yep, last year US Open and stuff. And I like this new pair. There was even like a little funny moment during their press conference that apparently like
when they were in the shades.
With the shade, yeah. But she was also saying how like she like Leila was just like, yeah, I didn't. Like she didn't even really speak to me, and if she was like, and then Taylor was like, "Yeah, I didn't know that girl. Like, I did not even say hi. Like, no." This is what I love about Taylor. I always say that Taylor's probably the realest player, like WTA player, or even probably ATP player. Like, she keeps it real and she does her game, and then she goes back to her child and mind her business. Like, I honestly respect her so much. But yeah, I'm really happy for them. I'm happy for Fernandez as well. Obviously, I kind of feel like it's been kind of rocky for her ever since, you know, US Open final 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. I generally thought like Fernandez would even be flying colors, because I think she was, personally for me, I'm not, with no disrespect to Emma whatsoever, but I just felt like with her run during the US Open was insane. So I really wanted her to like win. And I always felt like, yeah, she had like this crazy level and stuff. And it's been a shame that she couldn't keep up with like the momentum all this time. But
she's still young as well, though.
She's not even 21 yet.
Yeah,
she's still young. And you can see that, especially at the end of their final when they lost. And she was really emotional. And Taylor was like, you know, like basically that's what it was. And I think at that moment, that's when it reminded me, oh yeah, shit, this girl's actually pretty young as well. But yeah, man, like shout out to them. I really hope they continue working together. Yeah, it looks like they're like a nice pair.
Yeah.
You know, even Layla was saying in that same press conference as well, how like, you know, she keeps it real with me. Like when I'm playing bad, like she tells me like, you're playing like shit. And I can actually see Taylor like saying that to her as well.
You interviewed her, didn't you?
Taylor?
Taylor Townsend.
Before, when she was pregnant, yeah.
That's
like, January last year. And she was like, I'm coming back. And was it last year, you know, when she was pregnant? And yeah, and she came back.
She came back and she killed it.
And shout out to her also in singles as well, because she's been obviously in was it in Rome? Yeah, in Rome she beat Pegula. And,
yeah, she did.
And that was like, and after that she had like a press conference, and it was, I don't know, just a really nice press conference where she was talking about her journey and
blah, blah, blah.
She is one of the realest.
And
she qualified in Paris, I believe.
She did, yeah, she did. Exactly, so, that's true. Yeah.
And this is like, really, you know, she's been around for a long time, but this is like her first like proper, like, this was her first like trip to Europe, like doing the whole thing. Like the
whole clay season.
In the past, like historically, she barely, like even when she was a top 100 player, she would play the slams and then spend the rest of her time playing in the US, playing ITF events. And she said like, she said it's because she didn't, you know, it's a risk to just travel so much. She didn't, you know, she didn't want to take that financial risk.
Cost as well, yeah.
But so like she was saying like in Rome that this is the first time she's been to Madrid or Rome, and the first time she's seen these cities, you know, even though she's been around
for so long.
So, and it's been obviously, and it's been a success. She's obviously improving, and you know, I think it's, you know, she must be on the edge, on the verge of the top 100.
She's definitely about to crack it.
So she'll be back in the top 100 soon and be able to play a full schedule. So.
I feel like this is going to basically help her singles game as well, as 100%. In these doubles like kind of runs, and I think the same for Layla too.
Because
we've seen it's done a lot for Coco. Like Coco plays both doubles and singles. Mm-hmm. And look at her, like so
definitely. And also, it shows that, you know, looks like when you become a mommy, you have a different power. So again, now you're a sucker.
Hey, she's coming, man. Relax.
Can't wait for you, and you know.
I also want to shout out. So we don't speak a lot about wheelchair tennis because we don't really have access to it in terms of following it like that, but there was some South African success in the wheelchair event. So we had Gatso Monshani, I want to say. I know I'm saying her surname right. I'm not sure about her first name, so apologies. But yeah, she won the women's doubles with Yui Kamiji, who's like a pretty dominant like wheelchair tennis player. So they won the women's event, and in the men's event, or the men's the quads wheelchair event, we had Donald Vamp Hardy, again, South African, and he won with Andy Lapthorn, who's a Brit. That was their first Grand Slam together. So, yeah, like nice to see that them kind of getting some success as well, like on the doubles court. That's, like I said, we don't talk a lot about wheelchair tennis, obviously, because we don't watch it like that. But I think come Grand Slams, we do try and make an effort to publicise where we can. So, yeah, shouts out to the winners there. Tamani, like we said, you've been on the road for 7 bloody weeks. And now you're here, like literally you landed a few hours ago and you're bloody in the studio with us. So again, thank you, man. But I mean, yeah, what's it been like the travelling, like in terms of just being away for so long? Because is this the longest stint you've kind of had?
I think so, actually. And it's partly because, you know, Madrid and Rome are now 2-week events. So what would have been like of like 4-5 weeks is now 7 weeks.
Jeez.
But I think you'll understand that after Wimbledon. Like, but when you're covering a slam and in the middle of it, it's just very like, it's hard to think of anything else. Like you're there for like, you know, you're there for 12 hours or whatever, 13, 14 hours. And that's the only thing at least for me, like, some, you know, that's one of the only things I'm kind of thinking about, especially because there's so much going on, you know, especially the early rounds when there's,
that's what I'm saying,
18 courts or whatever, and it's just,
it's a lot.
Yeah, and you're like watching.
I've always been thinking about the first couple of days since we got the accreditation. I'm like, bro, them first, like, at least 2-4 days, is going to be mental.
Bring a packed lunch.
And it's just crazy because you'll be like, you're watching matches, you're trying to work, whether it's, you know, writing or doing, you know, podcasts or radio or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to do, you know, keep an eye on the press conferences and when players are coming in and, you know, who you want to speak to. Mm-hmm. And so it's chaotic. And so, like, doing that, like, basically three times with Madrid, Rome and Paris was...
Back to back.
Yeah, it was a lot, but also good. Like, because I was spending so much time there and it's not like, normal for a journalist to do that. Obviously, it's expensive and...
Yeah, true.
I was very, like, motivated to just write, do as well as I could and write good stories. And,
yeah.
Like, I was happy with some of the things I wrote, which I almost never am, so... So in that way, it was good, and, yeah, I had a good time.
What was the thinking as well? Because, like you said, that usually doesn't happen in terms of, like, you being able to go to, like, back-to-back-to-back-to events like that. Like, so what changed this year for that to happen?
I just asked for it.
Oh wow! So you
to be
you
honest, asked like, it. Yeah, I just wanted to do it, and like, I couldn't go to Madrid. Indian Wells or Miami in the States. So
okay,
I had like a few, before I went, I just like told my, you know, my editors the stories I wanted to do, and they were like, I guess they were convinced that it was worth doing it.
I like that. So you had to basically pitch.
Yeah, for sure. I had to explain the reasons why I want to go to these places, why they should send me and spend money on it. And then
the Alcaraz piece as well.
Yeah.
Like, how did that kind of come about? Again, that was that your idea or was that?
That was actually their idea.
Oh, okay.
Funnily enough, I wanted to do something on Alcaraz, but I was thinking more of like doing an interview with him or something. But they wanted like a piece on his like, you know, his like rise and whatever.
Yeah.
And so yeah, so
he's still new to a lot of people, anyways. Yeah.
And so certainly, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, when you speak to a player, not everyone's a good like narrator of their own story.
Yeah.
So like, if you speak to the people around them who knew them and who saw them like from either close up or from a distance, and you can get more insight. So it was like, really interesting for me going to his like his tennis club in his tiny village. And like,
and you were doing this all in Spanish as well.
Yeah,
Mr. Bilingual.
It's funny because like I didn't like. Sometimes you can like tell people you're coming and set things up and you know go and people know you're coming. I'd set up with one of his old coaches, but I actually just went to a club on my own without telling anyone in Spanish and like trying to, you know. Just trying to make something happen, and end up like. Luckily, it could have gone like they were like, "Why is this idiot here? Get him out my club."
Negro.
Yeah. But they were nice, and they like, you know, suddenly, you know, I became friends with like the bar woman who, you know, set me up with, you know, people who like his dad's like business partner. So it was good.
Brilliant, man.
Dope, man.
Well, yeah, guys, that's gonna be the end. So again, Tamani, man, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Real.
And yeah, Lucy, it's been real as usual.
I've tried, guys.
So
for someone who was busy.
So
I tried.
Yeah. Until next time, I say next time we're gonna be about. So as you know now, but yeah, we'll be making more announcements like on social media and stuff. So yeah, just stay posted and stay connected. And yeah, until next time, we'll see you very, very soon for Grass Court Season.
Peace.